Thank you very much for allowing me a chance to speak. My name is Craig Patterson. I am I've represented the Travel Federation of Iowa at the state capitol for about 12 years. I was hoping to get some of our industry folks here to speak today, but this is the summertime, and they are busy trying to generate as much tax revenue for the state as possible for education. So just want to throw that out there. I'm also a father and a taxpayer in we were lucky to live in the school district of Dallas Center Grimes, home of the new softball state champions. Okay. I'm not going to talk about dollars because you've already seen a lot of talking points about that. And we have information on our website at tfiowa.com. I just want to say this is a modest proposal from our standpoint. This has nothing to do with year-round school, which is something that the media has reported on. That's a separate waiver entirely. This affects well over 90% of school districts by 3 days or less. Many school districts are affected not at all by this. I would also like to say a lot of parents support moving the start date back, a lot of teachers as well. If you go out and ask them, without loaded questions like sometimes you see in the media, you'll find that actually a lot of parents would like to move the school start date back. We hear that time and again from folks. I'd ask you to allow this rule to move forward so we can continue this conversation. And I just simply point out that since school start date started moving forward years ago, are Iowa schools better or worse? That's the thing we keep asking folks. You know, we keep our industry keeps being asked, or the charges leveled that this is anti-education. I would ask you, okay, since school start date has been moving up into August, are Iowa schools better or worse? And I think the answer is, we should probably have this discussion, keep this moving forward, and moving the start date up has not been the silver bullet that the education folks have argued.
Thank you, Craig. Dan Wooden.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to comment on providing flexibility to PK-12 school districts as they work to implement the core curriculum, 21st century skills, and the recent ed reform legislation. My name is Dan Wooden, and I'm currently the president of the Ames School Board and a district representative on the Iowa Association of School Board of Directors. The State Board of Education and Department of Education understand the vast changes that are taking place in Iowa PK-12 education. It's not enough to implement the core curriculum and assist our teachers as they move to teaching our students higher order thinking skills. We also are aware of a need to integrate practices of collaboration, multidisciplinary learning, trial and error, and intrinsic motivation, as suggested by Tony Wagner, a widely published author focusing on effective strategies for school improvement. In addition, the Iowa legislature enacted education reform legislation that needs to be implemented. Allowing local school boards the flexibility to make this all happen is critical. One of the areas where flexibility comes into play is creating a school calendar. The responsibility takes into account local interests and concerns as local school boards seek to provide all their students opportunities for academic growth. In Ames, we have a calendar committee comprised of administrators, teachers, staff, parents, and community members. They take into account Iowa State University's calendar. Starting school a couple days prior to Iowa State University's start date allows our students that are taking both Ames High School and Iowa State University courses to start their ISU classes the first day. We all know the first day of class is so important as professors explain their course objectives and student expectations. Ames looks at the calendar as a whole to ensure our students can take advantage of education opportunities. We found that the simple yet important concept of being able to assist our students with their learning is having the students in the classroom. If Ames chose to not start winter break the Monday following ISU fall graduation, we would have high absenteeism as ISU students and their families leave Ames during winter break. If our students are not in the classroom, it's very difficult to affect their learning. Some school districts now start school early to complete the first semester before winter break. As higher expectations are being placed on Iowa schools with regards to curriculum and student achievement, local school districts need the flexibility to set their school calendars to best fit their local community and ensure that students are in school. Local school districts need the flexibility to do what needs to be done to ensure that their PK-12 students are progressing and preparing for life after high school graduation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dan Smith, and I'm the director of the School Administrators of Iowa. I appreciate this opportunity to address the State Board of Education on the issue of rules, Chapter 12, Instructional Hours and School Start Date Request. I want to specifically address the proposed rules for the school start date request. SAI supports the current waiver process. That process places confidence and responsibility on the local school board to make decisions that are in the best interest of their students based on the educational needs of their students and the uniqueness of their community. The current waiver process requires that each board conduct a public hearing to foster community input prior to submitting a waiver request. Local school boards take this responsibility seriously. Many have calendar committees that gather input and make recommendations on the most appropriate calendar. Local boards consider the unique aspects of their communities when crafting their district's calendar, but most importantly, they place the educational needs of their students at the center of their deliberations. The vast majority of local school boards have requested waivers through this process. The proposed rule change would severely curtail this local authority. It also appears that the proposed rule change does not take into consideration the negative or potential negative impact on the coordination of calendars between school districts, community colleges, universities, and the many student activities that routinely begin in early August. At a time when there is renewed commitment to excellence in Iowa schools, it's important that local schools have the flexibility to structure their calendars to promote student achievement. School boards working with their local communities are in the best position to make such decisions. Thank you.
Captain Schmidt.
My name is Catherine Schmidt, and I'm president of the Norwalk Community School Board of Directors, and I'm also a member of the Iowa Association of School Boards Legislative Resolutions Committee. We always call ourselves LRC, and now I remember why. I wanted to approach this in three ways. One, impact on Norwalk. Norwalk applies for an early waiver annually. At no time during my 12 years on the board has a single constituent attended the public hearing on the calendar, and at no time have I had a constituent complain to me about a school start date prior to Labor Day. In contrast, when there are snow days to make up and classes continue beyond Memorial Day, I have had complaints that school's not yet out. For calendars during construction contracts, we've used the early waiver to get out of school early in the spring so that we could get started on remodeling construction projects, and it would be difficult to complete those if we didn't have that as an option. And at all times, our calendar committee, which is also made up of parents and teachers and administrators, keeps student achievement as the primary goal. And one of the key calendar goals is to complete those first semester tests before Christmas break. It's also been the experience in the Norwalk Community School District that parents who want to take their children to the state fair or on a vacation, they take the children out and they go. Many colleges and universities begin mid-August, and our students attend college level classes while still in high school is another reason that it has impact on Norwalk. With respect to the Legislative Resolutions Committee, for every year I've been on it, which is 8 or 9, I can't quite figure it out, We've had a resolution to do away with the mandated early start language, and last year that was made a priority at the November meeting. It was a virtually unanimous decision without much discussion to adopt that as a priority. Then I have problems with the proposed rule. If schools are going to be starting on or after Labor Day, it's going to be likely they will extend after Memorial Day. And all the arguments being made for economic development after Labor Day, to start after Labor Day, could also be made for going after Memorial Day, the economic impact, no workers, et cetera. So it doesn't accomplish the purpose, except as to the state fair. Okay, 2 minutes is not very long. Now I know a lot more sympathy for my constituents right now. I at least give them 3 minutes, though. In conclusion, as a school board member, I'm an unpaid public servant. I get nothing by being here today. I think you need to give my evidence weight. And I'm sure you all are. Thank you for your time and consideration. And I do love the state fair, and I do go every year.
New argument there. Okay. Thank you, guys. Maybe we'll do 3 minutes next time.
I could have made it if you would have.
Carrie Ann Boyce, I think that's
you were correct.
What's your name?
Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Carrie Ann Voits, and I am a parent in the Indianola School District of 2 children, one of whom attends Irving Elementary, which is currently an alternative calendar, the year-round calendar, which I hadn't read anything as far as how this rule pertains to those year-round calendars. I know that Mr. Patterson had mentioned that this doesn't exactly address those, so I'm sure that's a separate issue, but I do have concerns even with the traditional calendar limiting their flexibility. I think in today's technology world, we have the opportunity to take advantage of education both in and out of the classroom. So, you know, as someone mentioned, if kids go to the fair, they can utilize that opportunity to go back to their classroom and teach the other kids about what they learned. I think we as a state have really tried to move forward in making education a priority, and I think putting this restriction on school districts would be a step backward. The documentation needed, from what I understand, from what I've read in the newspaper, to justify a start date prior to 7 days before September 1st seems a little overwhelming, and I'm not sure that any data can directly be correlated to the calendar start date as far as the negative impact. So I would encourage you to really consider the educational impact of this rule, and again, put the priority on the students' education. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, and thank you. I don't represent the tourism or the school boards. I'm a parent, and that's why I'm here today. We live in an age of academic accountability, and there's a reason that almost all of our superintendents in this state have asked for waivers. Whether there's empirical evidence or not, the educational excellence of our schools should be left up to those that we as communities hire and entrust with the purpose of educating our children, not with the tourism business and the tourism lobbyists of the state of Iowa. I have 2 kids in college now, one at Waukee High School. The 2 that are in college, both were unable to take DMAC classes because of the school calendar. When our school calendars don't match up with the local community colleges, our kids are not allowed to take advanced classes. And if we're a state that wants academic excellence, then we need to allow our kids to go to the community colleges when they're in high school. Delaying school would have no effect other than kids even going to summer school would probably not even be, universities would not even be allowed to enroll in summer. As a parent, I think this is bad policy. I think it's unfair that kids have to take semester finals after Christmas vacation and after winter breaks. As a state, if we're truly committed to making Iowa number one in education, then why are we even considering taking more local control away from our community school districts? If you do a history of the state of Iowa, you will see that when we were number one in education, local school districts had more control. This goes totally against what we're trying to accomplish. We as community members know what is best for our children. This is, should not be about the state fair deciding the direction of our education here in the state of Iowa. The state fair still brings in over 1 million people every year, has over $20 million in revenue, which is only a third of 1% of the total revenue generated by the Tourism Bureau here in the state of Iowa. School districts are already starting early, and it has not affected the tourism industry in the state of Iowa as of yet. This is a contentious issue. It belongs at the local level, and it should not be mandated by the state or the tourism lobby. Thank you.
Brief. Tom Narek, I'm a retired superintendent, and I also am the government relations director for the School Administrators of Iowa. The comment earlier, the question earlier, are schools better or worse? I would contend that they're better. We've got a lot of challenges, but for years, schools have worked on regaining the focus about student needs and education, and that's where we're at today. The calendar is not a silver bullet, but allowing school boards to have the authority to make those type of decisions is very consistent with regaining that focus and making decisions that are best serving children. We strongly support tourism. We like the state fair, but they should not be meddling in when school starts or on school decisions. That's really your elected representatives. We appreciate your service to the state, your elected representatives, your focus is on students and their educational needs. That's where school boards are. So when it's described as a compromise indicates both sides maybe it came to some agreement. We were asked to look at it. We did not agree to it. We think it's within the authority of local school boards to make this decision. The current law allows that. The current law is working. The department's following the law. Schools are following the law. If you're compromising anything with this rule, you're compromising authority of local school boards, and we find that offensive. Thank you.
Brian Johnson.
Thanks.
Okay, so those are on my.
Sure.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Brian Johnson. I lobby for the state fair. This issue is not about the state fair. It's not about Okoboji. It's much broader than that. There are really three issues. One is tourism. I'm not going to address that. One is educational achievement. We wouldn't be here if it hurt education, and I'd be happy to sit down with anybody, anytime, anywhere, and talk about studies, hard facts that show that. What I want to talk about is the law. We just heard that this ought to be left up to local representatives and those that are elected. It is. It's in 279.10 in this code book, and it's existing law. I think the woman from Norwalk respectfully had it right. If you want to change the law, then you ought to do, that's what you ought to do. But it is the law. You've been busy doing rules today. You know, in 15 years, there's never been a rule on this section of the code or on this issue. It comes down to four keywords: significant negative educational impact. And there's been some question, what does that mean? Of course, there's never been a rule on it. You have in front of you a statement by Burl Preed. Burl Preed's a former Democrat state senator that's the author of those four words. I went up to Algona, I think it's on the 22nd. I asked him to have it notarized. He's 95 years old and pretty frail. But he invited anybody to call him if he wanted to know what legislative intent was. It was intended to set a standard. You have that statement in front of you. Also, I'm not a lawyer, so I took the liberty to call a good attorney, as well as two scholars on the rural process. One of them is a preeminent scholar. Two were at public universities, or one is at a public university, one's at a private university. I think you also have in front of you, I hope I gave you, 17A of the code. And they immediately, when they knew that rules hadn't been made in that period of time, thanks, Mike, let me steal that from you.
Sure.
And it's highlighted for you. But it says that each agency shall, as soon as feasible to the extent practical, adopt rules in addition to those otherwise required by this chapter, embodying appropriate standards, principles, and procedure safeguards that the agency will apply to the law it administers. That's never been done. We respectfully ask that you do that. You know, we talk about public need and public good. We don't know who's making this decision. It's very clear what the code intends, and I think Senator Preeb's statement shows that. There's never been a public process why these waivers are rubber stamped, and there's clearly intent. I think it goes against public intent and public good not to have that. And the last things, there are other legal principles that apply to this. It is vague. It is capricious. There is no process now. We talk about the process is working. There's never been a process. We don't know who, why, what, where the decision was made not to follow the state law. We respectfully ask you follow the state law and the rules that exist in the state of Iowa.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
I've asked Mike, we sort of sometimes go on and on about our capabilities and expertise, so I'll say your expertise is in this area. I've asked Mike to kind of sum up for us, not to weigh in with an opinion or one way or the other, but to try to sort of and tee up what our responsibility is here. And so I'll ask Mike to make a few comments. You notice I said a few. And then we'll open it up for state board comment, opinion, whatever.
Thank you. Good morning once again, Honorable Chair Edwards. Thank you, honorable members of our Iowa State Board of Education and all in attendance today. It's moments like this where you might be wondering why you volunteered to serve in this position. As a former state representative mayor, I've been in your shoes when major issues have arisen, and at times thought it must be a nice quiet beach somewhere. It's preferable to all the fuss. I do thank you throughout the year for all your time and public services board, but particularly on the high profile issues we have before us today. I know you've been receiving a lot of comment from the public, and we appreciate your time and effort in responding to those folks. Your service appreciated, and there are beaches to be found in other days. There are four items to this proposed rule today. All elements of this rulemaking relate to the overall topic of instructional time. The first three items update the rules to reflect newly enacted legislation from the 2013 session. A major change in the law that does require updating our rules is the new statute allowing Iowa school districts to adopt a 1,080-hour school year if they so choose from the current 180-day school year. Item 1 updates the rules to add that very option to them. It reflects the change in the law that requires non-public schools to also follow those minimum standards of 180 days or 1,080 hours of instruction starting in the 2014-15 school year. Item 2 defines what an hour of school is and clarifies what a day of school is for recording purposes. Item 3 provides further update and clarity on the definition of what a properly recorded hour or day shall be for schools as they meet the requirements of the law. Remember, these are minimums and schools may exceed them. It does establish a six-hour school day for those on a schedule based on days and averages 6 hours a day under the hours-based schedule. Innovative calendar, which was raised earlier, those requirements remain unchanged in both the law and in the rules. The item that has received more attention is item 4, which is the last item on the administrative rules before you, proposed instructional time start date rules. As you may recall, we did receive a petition earlier this summer requesting a new set of rules for this section of Iowa Code. That prompted us to take a fresh look at the law as well as consider any impact that new legislation had on the topic. While that petition has been withdrawn and we did not agree with the request in it, we do believe the rules concerning start time need to be much more clear for all Iowans. Last year, 340 school districts requested waivers from the official start date and 340 received them. We're proposing to put a more orderly process in place moving forward in 2014-15 school year. So what has changed that would allow us to establish rules in this area? Simple. The new law passed this year that allows schools to measure their time by days or hours. With the change to a 1,080-hour schedule, school districts now have much more flexibility to meet the needs of their students without starting school as early as they have. Schools have traditionally argued the importance of concluding their first semester prior to the winter break, and often correctly shared that was the rationale behind starting school earlier. As a former school teacher, I agree with that notion. With the ability to now conduct an hours-based system, districts must meet 540 hours, not 180 days, or 90 days, excuse me, in a semester. As a result, starting in 2014-15 school year, a major reason why schools needed to start their school year earlier no longer exists. Schools may need to add a few minutes to each school day, but as long as they meet 540 hours of instructional time, they will meet the new state law and can finish their first semester before winter break. As a facilitator of the Instructional Time Task Force last fall, a former legislator now working at the legislature in this role, I've spent much time on this topic, probably too much so. In any case, I truly believe there are no bad characters in this discussion. We have good Iowans, good people who fundamentally disagree from the educational and tourism sectors. You've heard that comment today, and it's very reflective of large sectors of Iowans. They each raise legitimate points of contention for the legislature to consider. The legislature can determine, as Nebraska has done, that there be no statewide start date requirement at all. The legislature can determine to do as Wisconsin and Minnesota have done and require school to start in September. But we are in a rules, and let me repeat that, a rules discussion. We already have a law, and let me distribute that law to the members and to the crowd. Just pass those around, please. In a rules process, rules should match the law to the greatest extent possible. It's abundantly clear that this proposed section of rules is much closer to law than current practice, and the flexibility of 1,080 hours really must be taken into account in this discussion. As you consider this rule, I want you accurate information guiding your board in making that decision. I'd like to briefly address some of the well-intentioned but frankly wrong arguments I've heard from Iowans on both sides of this rule. From the tourism perspective, I've heard from some that the law does state that schools should start in a week that includes September 1. It is the only date mentioned in the code. That is not unimportant and does share that the legislature thought that day was important enough put in the law, but that does not mean school can only start in that week. Section 4 clearly of the law that you see before you has an exemption, and if the legislature only wanted school to start in September, they would not have put that into the law. They would have said September 1 is the start date without any exemptions. That's not the case. On the other hand, I've heard a talking point over and over again from educational groups that schools have a right to local control under this law. And I asked for anyone that reads that law, where is that stated? It simply doesn't exist. It says that the director of the Department of Education may grant an exemption. By setting a date and giving the director discretion on granting a waiver, that indicates some districts should get a waiver and some should not. If the intent was that 340 school districts would ask for a waiver and 340 would get it, as was the case last year, the law simply would read school start whenever they wish. It wouldn't mention September 1, and it wouldn't give the director the ability to say no. The department has been sensitive to concerns about finishing the first semester at a time. As we've said before, that is now not the case because of the 1,080 hours. So those who say that this ends local control for instructional time, let me remind the board that under these rules, schools will continue to have local control in determining if they want to meet in September, meet in the 7 to 11 day first window, which is pretty much the status quo, under expedited review, insist on an earlier start date than that and seek a waiver, adopt an hours or days schedule, lengthen the school day, or a host of other options. That is hardly a restrictive set of rules. But there's no inherent right under this law to an automatic exemption. It's simply not in the law. It is simply mistaken to state the law requires everyone to get a waiver. So this proposal before you, which grants schools two windows of opportunity to get an exemption, is a balanced approach. The law is a balanced approach. These rules are much closer to legislative intent than either saying that all schools should start in September or that all schools should start whenever they want. If the legislature wants to make that choice, that is fine, but the current state law that we have doesn't say that. This is a compromise before you. If these rules were in place this school year, 70% of Iowa school districts would fall in the first window of expedited review, and 98.5% of the schools would fall within 3 days of the deadline. So 70% of the schools would have no impact, and the others would be moderately impacted. We do have an Iowa school this year, board, that will start this Tuesday. an Iowa school that will start school this Tuesday, nearly a month before the official school start date. Isn't it reasonable to at least ask that school to give a reason for that action? Perhaps there's a legitimate reason and they can make that case to the director. But should this be an automatic approval? Isn't it reasonable to ask why they would need to start school almost a month before the official start day on the traditional calendar? Can anyone reasonably state that this meets the spirit of the law? Today's recommendation is simple. We strongly recommend passing these rules through the notice stage. That will allow a public hearing to take place on September 10 on this topic. It will allow the Administrative Rules and Review Committee of the legislature to weigh in on this topic as well. It doesn't pass the rules today. These rules still have to come back to you. You will have the opportunity to make judgment on the rules at the adopt stage. It will keep the interested parties dialoguing and will continue to allow the public to have their say in a whole host of outlets, including that public hearing on September 10th. Ultimately, you do have the responsibility and the right to adopt or reject these rules, and we respect that decision. Today, though, that isn't the question. The question before you is, will you allow for legislative input and for further public comment on these rules that are before you today? It is time for compromise. In my mind, it is time to follow the law. I respectfully ask you to notice these rules today. I'm proud to present this reasonable common sense compromise and open this to everyone here. And again, let me fully emphasize, I probably spent as much time on this issue with folks on both sides of the aisle in the last year and a half, from the instructional time, legislature, and former legislator. We need to get this issue behind us. We need to move forward in other educational topics. There are decent, good people on both sides of this issue, and I think you've been hearing from them. Everybody legitimately wants what's good for Iowa. We hope this is a path to try to bring some resolution to this issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Can you start with the motion?